Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bible with you. And we're going to be looking at verse 10 today. And again, if I was to title this message, again, this is one of those messages that you want to use the generic titles like Christianity 101, you know. This is one of those messages, I think. You probably hear things that you probably have heard before. But like Peter said when he wrote in his letter to folks that were scattered throughout the world there, he told him, he said that it's good for me to bring you to remembrance of these things. Amen. So, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, and sometimes if you're a young Christian, especially if you're reading this, you wonder, gosh, I don't understand what this means. And we're going to endeavor to explain all this to you this morning. So, Brother Nathan, would you mind standing, brother, and asking the blessing upon this word?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for our pastor and wife. Thank you, Father, for their ministrations. We pray, dear Lord, that you glorify yourself in their lives, dear Lord. Bless the sharing of your word. Help us, dear Lord, to receive it humbly and meekly and apply it to our lives. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. I believe what Paul is saying here to us is that if you're a believer, it's important for you to begin to understand that you have been made one with Christ. And since we are one with Him, I think it's important for us to understand that when He died, we died. Again, we've shared that with you before, in that it tells us that we are to reckon this. In other words, account it up, sum it up, that we died with Him. And the life we now live, we live to Christ. You know, we are to present our bodies, as it says in the book of Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. Because we're not our own. You see, we have been bought with a price. Would you say amen?
Amen.
We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Apostle Paul would go on to say this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I alluded to this during the Sunday school service when the adults did this as a memory verse. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So you see here very clearly what the Bible is going to teach us here is that it is Christ's imparted Spirit to us that actually makes us conscious of the fact of who we are and who we belong to. And it's that Spirit itself that enables us to be able to walk in the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of Christ. Folks, if you're here today and you are not conscious of the presence of the Spirit of God in your life, then you need to take inventory. I think it would be important for you to maybe do what Paul suggests in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. When he said these words, he said, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Examine yourselves to see that you're in the faith. How do you examine to see whether you're in the faith? Is there any fruit? Is there any fruit of the Spirit? Those are the attributes of Christ. That is evidence of the Spirit of God at work in your life. You all know what the fruit of the Spirit is: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. I believe the Lord wants you to know that if you're in Him, your life is going to bear fruit. But He also wants you to be able to have that assurance of who you belong to. And He wants you to know that you are in Christ. And that's evidenced by the Word of God also, as we look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, it is the Spirit of Christ, Christ in us, that gives us that hope of glory. Now, I know we don't walk by feeling, that's for sure. We walk by faith. But I'm telling you, whenever you have the faith, the feeling comes. And if you're not sure that Christ is in you, the Word of God more than once gives the invitation for you to come and to receive the Spirit of Christ, to receive Him. One of my favorites is Revelation 3:20. And here he's talking to a church that's very carnal. They're religious. They think they got it wired together, but they don't know him. And here he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." So the Lord wants to come into your heart. He wants you to open your heart's doors and to receive him. And that comes by you giving the invitation to come into his heart, because he doesn't force himself upon anybody. But if you will, he will. It's guaranteed. John elaborated upon this verse of scripture, I believe, more in John chapter 14, verse 23 through 26, when he said these words. He said, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep what? My word. And my Father will love him." And what does it say? "And we will come to him and make our home with him." This is where he's going to abide. "He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Now listen, and this is important for you to get. This, God gives us the Holy Spirit for the purpose of us understanding who we are in him, and to empower us, enable us to be able to walk in the Spirit. It says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you." Think about it. Now, if you're filled with the Spirit of Christ, and there are things that you have questions about as to whether or not you should be partaking of certain things, and you just don't feel easy about it, that's the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, teaching you all things. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. Amen? So you don't have indeed any man teach you. But you got to listen. God gives us his Holy Spirit to guide us into all things, including the fact that we are to reckon that our mortal bodies are dead to sin, but that we are alive to God through Jesus Christ, and we're to turn our lives over to the Spirit of God who dwells in us, saying, "Lord, I can't do it." Have you done that? Have you said, "Lord, I can't do it"? That's just being honest with God. And I know that God appreciates honesty. Amen? "But I know I can do all things through you. You live your life in me." That's what Paul was saying. "The life I now live, I live by the Spirit of Christ, you know, the Spirit that dwells within me." That's why Paul will go on to say here, as we look at verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Folks, these old bodies that you and I have, they're going to be put in the grave one of these days, should the Lord tarry. However, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is our assurance that our bodies won't remain there, that they're going to be raised incorruptible. And because Jesus Christ was raised, the promise is that we'll be raised also. The Holy Spirit will then deliver us from this, what Paul referred to as body of death, to be delivered unto a new body, an uncorruptible body. Paul speaks about this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 through 4. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan." Do you ever feel yourself doing that? Just groaning. Oh, man. My daughter, poor thing. I love my daughter Kelly to pieces, but she has suffered from migraine headaches for most of her life. And when she gets one of those headaches, I mean, it's miserable. And there are times whenever you and I, we have joint pain or something like that, we go, "Oh, Lord," I groan within myself, just desiring that day where I don't have to deal with this, right? You just groan within yourselves. But it's also groaning within yourself in the spiritual sense too, you know, with our attitudes and the lusts and passions that people have to keep under containment, you know. I believe those things are going to be dealt with too. He says, For this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that immortality may be swallowed up by life. You know, one of the things that I think that is important to remember as you study the scriptures, you'll find that everyone is going to be resurrected. Everyone. I don't care whether you're a believer or not, you're going to be resurrected. The Bible says some are going to be raised to incorruptible, but there are others who are going to be raised in corruption. And they're going to be given a body like they have now, subject to pain, heartache, and so on. The Bible tells us that's very clear in Scripture. There is a warning in Scripture Jesus gives. He says, don't fear him who can kill the body, but after that can do nothing. He says, fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. You see? Now, there's a lot of things about that I don't understand, and I'll be honest with you, I don't want to understand. I want to have my eyes focused upon heaven and meeting my Savior. Amen? But I do think it is important to think about, because we need to warn other people. As I said before, because a lot of people think they're going to have a big party up there. It's not going to be a party. It's going to be a place of torment. People will more than likely be able to see heaven and know what they could have had for eternity, but have lost it, totally separated from God. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a horrible thing that will be. But for those who believe, we have an eternal hope. Verse 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We're debtors to the Lord. We're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Remember when God made man, he made man body, soul, and spirit. And when man sinned, you know, we know what happened. He died to God. His soul was separated from God. And God had said in Genesis 2 and 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. And that day, they died spiritually. They may have went on, and Adam may have lived for another several hundred years, you know, but you know, that was only physically. Spiritually, they died. And from that time forward, the flesh, the body, the nature of the flesh nature became the dominant part of who you are. And the desires of that flesh nature became all that you want to do, you see, to gratify your flesh, to satisfy your flesh. Now, I know a lot of people try to rationalize this. Well, you know, they say, well, I have to eat. I get hungry, so I eat, you know. And they'll try to use that as a springboard by saying, well, people have, you know, physical passions within them, like, you know, sexual passions. So, you know, like a movie star once said, you know, he says, I live for sex. I have to have my needs met. And folks, we hear this kind of ideology all too often today. Even watching television commercials and things like that, you hear slogans like, you owe it to yourself. Indulge your appetite. Yeah, the old Nike commercial, just do it. Yeah. Satisfying the old nature. Pulling out all the restraints. But as a result, what we have seen, we've seen our nation fall into extremely gross immorality. The things that, if you turn the television on, I'm not kidding, if you were to be able to see what is loud on television today as opposed to 20 years ago, you would be shocked. It's incredible. And it's only going to get worse. But the Word of God says clearly that evil men will wax worse and worse. And that's what we're seeing before our eyes. And God says, as believers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live that way. We are debtors to God. He saved us from so great a sin. That's why we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We don't owe the flesh anything. Verse 13 says, and if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You mean as a Christian, I'm supposed to change? Yeah. Yep. Like you say, the Scripture says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But guess who's got to change? You and I. He's holy. And he said, be holy because I'm holy. Amen. He's called you to do a sanctifying work in yourself. Begin to turn away from those things that separate you from God. you're a child of God and you have unconfessed sin in your life, you need to know what the Scripture has to say. Your relationship with the Lord is separated at this time. You may say, well, I know Jesus, I know Him. You might know the Lord as far as He's your Savior, but you're not having a fellowship with Him. The Bible makes that very clear. Again, this is an area where one needs to check themselves. Ask yourself, do you want to go to church? Do you want to read your Bible? Do you want to pray? Do you want to fellowship with other believers? Especially when doing so puts a spotlight upon your particular sin. And the answer is usually no. And if that's the case, you're experiencing that separation from God, you see. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. It says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, what does it say? We lie and do not the truth, or do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, which is His Word, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, this seems like a paradox. It is a paradox. What it's showing is that if you are walking and practicing open, blatant sin, you're going to be separated from the things of God. But if you say that I don't sin or do anything wrong, we all have those areas of our life that God's working on. Remember, the Bible says there is a sin that leads to death, there is a sin that does not lead to death. If we confess our sins, what does it say? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to God for that. Amen. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Simply means you can't do it without the Spirit of God. You can't mortify, put to death the flesh without the Spirit of God dwelling within you. You're weak. We're weak in the flesh. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to do those things. Okay, now for just a minute, I want to be a little bit practical here with you if I could. What is your problem here today? Because if we are to put a spotlight on each and every one of our lives, I'm sure we could come up with something, couldn't we? You know, to some people who attend church today, it's alcohol. Some people it's drugs. Some it's sex. Pornography. Some it's gossip. Ooh, I think it touched a nerve on that one, didn't I? Now maybe you're thinking, oh, Carrie, you're meddling now. You ought to be quiet here, buddy. You're going to make me angry. Or maybe you're here and you're thinking to yourself, no, you know, I don't have that problem. But what about your thought life? You thought about those things? Do you dwell upon those things? You know, you got the world and psychiatrists and tell you that fantasizing is healthy. And I'm telling you that fantasizing is destructive because it is a lust, and lust leads to what? Sin. And sin, when it's finished, leads to what? Death, exactly. The point is, we all have areas in our lives that the Holy Spirit is still perfecting us with. Amen? The question is, are we willing to yield them up, to be set free from the guilt of being separated from the fellowship that we should be experiencing with God? As Christians, we have to realize that the only way to be reconciled is to confess it to God and to turn away from it and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work. It's not going to the psychiatrist, folks. It's not going to the psychiatrist. Laying on the couch and spilling your guts to him can't solve anything. All he can do is just shift your guilt complex from one area to another. That's why they always say, tell me about your mother. Tell me about your father. But Jesus Christ cleanses us totally from all of that guilt. And He wants you to lay all your burdens, everything upon Him. And He'll set you free. He'll set you free if you do it. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Isn't that what you long for? Rest for your soul. Because if you are walking in sin, unconfessed sin, I don't care who you say you are and how close you are to God, you're miserable. You just cannot be comfortable in unconfessed sin. And He goes on to say, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord knows that you and I struggle in different areas. But he wants you to know that you're forgiven. He wants you to know that you're forgiven. I found an illustration. Brother tells a story. He says, recently my 21-month-old, who had just learned how to say daddy, had been struggling with asthma and an ear infection for 2 weeks. He coughed and he sneezed continually, and his nose ran like a faucet. Each night when I came home, he ran to meet me at the door, smiling and coughing, running nose, yelling, "Daddy, Daddy!" I was not repulsed by his runny nose or the close-range sneezes in the least. He slimed every shirt I owned. I love him deeply and enjoy his love for me. I'm reminded that though I am sick with sin, God loves me deeply and desires that I run to him as a son crying, "Abba, Father." Now, I'm not going to keep you too much longer here. I've got much I want to say about Abba, our Papa, our Father. Amen. Next week. And I want to encourage you to come and listen to what I have to say there, because I think it'll encourage your hearts and hopefully cause each and every one of us to have a deeper, closer walk with him. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.